Message number one, the line of life and the line of death in chapters 5 through 8 of Romans. Roman numeral number one, chapter 5 through 8 of Romans can be called the kernel of the Bible, showing its entire theme in a concrete and detailed way. Romans 5:17, by the offense of the one, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. A. These two keywords, life and death, are mentioned repeatedly in Romans 5 through 8. Life and death form two contrasting lines through chapters 5 through 8. The line of life and the line of death, showing that man is in a triangular situation between God and Satan, life and death. B. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge, the tree of death, issue in two lines, the line of life and the line of death, that run through the entire Bible and end in the book of Revelation. Life begins with the tree of life and ends with the New Jerusalem as the city of water of life, with the tree of life, the light of life, and the glory of life. Death begins with the tree of knowledge and ends with the lake of fire. Genesis 2:9, Jehovah God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, as well as the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. C. Eating the tree of life, that is, enjoying Christ as our life supply, should be the primary matter in the church life. The content of the church life depends on the enjoyment of Christ. The more we enjoy Him, the richer the content will be. D. But to enjoy Christ requires us to love Him with the first love. If we leave our first love toward the Lord, we will miss the enjoyment of Christ and lose the testimony of Jesus. Consequently, the lampstand will be removed from us. Revelation 2:4. But I have one thing against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen from, and repent and do the first works. But if not, I am coming to you, and I will remove your lampstand out of its place, unless you repent. To him overcomes, to him I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. E. To recover the first love is to consider the Lord Jesus as the first in everything. If we make Christ everything in our life, this means that we have overcome the loss of the first love. F. The Lord's speaking to the church in Ephesus can be summarized with four crucial words that begin with the letter L: love, life, light, and lampstand. We must give the Lord Jesus the preeminence in every way and in everything to recover the first love. Then we will enjoy Him as the tree of life, and this life right away becomes the tree of life. Then we will be shining in our daily life and corporately as the lampstand. G. The evil condition of the wicked is that they do not come to the Lord to eat and enjoy the Lord. They do many things, but they do not come to contact the Lord, to take Him, to receive Him, to taste Him, and to enjoy Him. In the sight of God, nothing is more evil than this. Roman numeral number two. Today, the believer is a miniature garden of Eden. God, as the tree of life, is in his spirit. Satan, as the tree of knowledge, is in his flesh, and his mind is in between. We are either in the spirit or in the flesh. There is no third place for us to be. This is why we must set our mind on the spirit. Romans 8:6. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. A. Man's body was originally pure, but through man's fall, Satan injected himself into man, and man's body has become the flesh. 1. Our body is the body of sin, and the body of this death. The body of sin is very active and full of strength in sinning against God, but the body of this death is weak and powerless in acting to please God. 6:6, knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be annulled, that we should no longer serve sin as slaves. 3. The flesh is the meeting hall and the compound of sin, death, and Satan. The flesh is a hopeless case and can never be improved. B. For the sake of his economy, God in his own wisdom and sovereignty uses our sinful, ugly flesh to force us to turn to our spirit so that we may gain more of the spirit for his building by the growth of God in us. 1. Judicially speaking, both Satan and our flesh were condemned once for all on the cross, but God allowed the flesh to remain with us to help us and force us to turn to Christ in our spirit and have no more confidence in the flesh. Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision, the ones who serve by the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. 3. Our goal may be holiness or spirituality or victory, but God's goal is to work himself into us to make us glorious. Often we are in a difficult situation, we are more open to the Lord and more willing to turn to him and allow him to work himself into us. 4. If we seek him, even the sinful compound of the flesh will become a help to us in gaining the Lord. Because we fail so often, we are desperate to turn to the Spirit, and in this way, we gain more of the Spirit. 5. Our hardships, defeats, failures, and disappointments force us to realize that there is no hope in the flesh. The flesh is good only to force us to turn to Christ in our spirit, to press us into the Spirit, to make us desperate to get into the Spirit, and keep us watchful to stay in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18, by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit, and watching unto this in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints. 6. The Lord does not care for whether or not we have a victory. The Lord cares for only one thing, that we gain Christ as the Spirit by setting our mind on the Spirit.
Roman numeral 3. In Romans 5, we are in Adam. In Romans 6, we are in Christ. In Romans 7, we are in the flesh. And in Romans 8, we are in the Spirit. The Adam in chapter 5 is experienced in the flesh in chapter 7. And the Christ in chapter 6 is experienced in the Spirit in chapter 8. A. We believers in Christ have a factual and positional transfer out of Adam through Christ's death and into Christ through his resurrection. 2. In Christ, we have been gifted with righteousness, life, and justification under grace unto life, in which we reign with grace over all things. Romans 5:18. So then, as it was through one offense, unto condemnation to all men, so also it was through one righteous act, unto justification of life to all men. 21. In order that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. B. We believers in Christ have a practical and experiential transfer out of the flesh, the practical and experiential Adam, through our being crucified with Christ and into the Spirit, the practical and experiential Christ. Through our organic union with Christ as the law of the Spirit of life. 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life has freed me in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death. 16. The Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. C. Christ himself is the life of God, the eternal life. He came that we may have life and may have it abundantly. He died a life releasing death and entered into a life dispensing resurrection to become the life-giving spirit as the law of the Spirit of life, giving life to our spirit, our mind, and our mortal bodies so that we might be those who are swallowed up by life to minister life to others. Roman numeral 4. In order for us to stay on the line of life, we must take the way of enjoying Christ as a tree of life.
Testimony. I testified on the point Roman numeral 2a5. Our hardship defeats failures and disappointments, forces us to realize that there is no hope in our flesh. The flesh is good only to force us to turn to Christ in our spirit, to process us into the spirit, to make us desperate, to get into the spirit and keep us watchful, to stay in the spirit. At conferences and regular meetings, I was frequently enlightened by the Lord, and each time I resolved to love the Lord more and change my living according to His will. However, after a while, I found myself doing nothing and continuing my old lifestyle. At first, I scolded myself, "What are you doing?" But it did not help at all. I don't remember the details, but I clearly remember the feeling that my flesh is useless. Later, with the help of the life studies of the Bible, I came to understand that the flesh is the meeting hall of sin, death, and Satan, and it is completely opposite to God's economy and utterly powerless to carry out God's economy. I prayed as follows. Lord Jesus, my flesh is unable to be improved. The only purpose of my flesh is to make me completely despair of myself, to compel me and turn me to my spirit. I want to respond to your call and immediately carry out your will, but I do not have the strength to do so. If I let my guard down even little and rely on the flesh, I will fail. I will set my mind on the Spirit and depend only on you. Even when it comes to loving you, I cannot rely on myself. I am too weak to love you unless I am touched by your fresh love. Before, I realized on myself and tried to love you. And when I failed, I was greatly disappointed. Now I am not even disappointed. Originally, my flesh is of no use in God's economy. I will gaze intensely at you alone. Let me keep touching you, then I will be able to walk under your divine dispensing. Due to my repeated failures with flesh, I was able to pray like this. Eventually, the flesh helped me and made me focus only on the Lord. My secret for receiving grace by renewing the vision and consecrations to practice God's ordained way is to use the Word of God and focus only on the Lord in such a desperate prayer.